Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Before we dive into this psalm in more depth, why don't you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new year, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray as we open your word this morning that what you would want to say to each and every individual person here would be heard. And Lord, that it wouldn't just stay in our hearts, but Lord, it would take root and work its way out in our lives. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, it's the new year, and with a new year comes New Year's resolution. Show of hands, anyone made a New Year's resolution this year? That's a bit disappointing. Oh, yes, well done. Congratulations. Gold star for you. I have no gold star, so just imagine that you've got one. I'm disappointed. I was really hoping you'd all have your hands up and talk about how you were going to pray more or read the Bible more or do some sort of spiritual growth, because now is a really good time to be thinking about how we can be growing, because we as Christians should have a growth mindset. We should constantly be growing, and New Year is a really wonderful time to draw a line in the sand and think about a specific way we can grow. Even if we only grow for the month of January and then peter out a little bit, that's still growth, and I would encourage you to sustain it through the year. Anyway, it's a time of New Year's resolution, and so preparing for this morning, I looked up some of the most common New Year's resolution, which was kind of a waste of my time, because I imagine, like most of you, it was pretty easy to predict what the most common New Year's resolutions were. Any ideas? The most common New Year's resolutions? Lose weight. Quit smoking? Yep. Other ones? That was, I think, number 7. Other ones? On the list I had. Other ones?
Drink less.
Drink less, yep. Less chocolate. That's not a common one, but okay. I won't be doing that. Lose weight, of course. Spend more time with family. Manage one's money better. And take more holidays were some of the ones that came up the most. Unfortunately, there weren't any in the top 10 that dealt with spiritual disciplines, which was a little bit disappointing. However, in the new year, I think it would be wonderful if there was something that you could do to grow as a disciple of Christ. And today we're going to be looking at one way that we can grow and a spiritual discipline that a fairly noted 20th century theologian named Dallas Willard used in his own life. Show of hands briefly, anyone heard of Dallas Willard? No, that's fine. He's kind of amazing. Someone I used to work with is a very big fan of him, and he introduced me to his work. He wrote a lot about spiritual disciplines. He's also noted for coining a phrase that really challenged 20 modern-day Christians to think about the gospel in a deeper sense when he talked about the gospel of sin management and how that was a very incomplete gospel and failed to recognize the enormity of what Jesus Christ had done. Very, 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 very profound theologian. And when you're talking to someone who writes about spiritual disciplines, it's probably a good idea to find out what their personal spiritual disciplines are. What do they put into practice in his own life? And this is something that Dallas Willard said. He said, before I get out of bed, so in the morning, I go through the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23. I work through them a few times each. I linger with each phrase. So if you're looking for a New Year's resolution or a way to grow spiritually, I would encourage you to set aside some time and potentially do this or a portion of this. Go through both the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm in your own mind as you've remembered it, and linger on each phrase and think about what it might mean. Dallas Willard himself actually wrote a book specifically about Psalm 23, which we're looking at today, and the Lord's Prayer we'll look at next Sunday. His book is called Life Without Lack, because as you know, the first line of the Lord is my shepherd is I lack nothing. And he's written an entire book about how we can live in the reality of not lacking anything, because God takes care of us and God has for us everything we could possibly need. Now, that has a really interesting intersection with New Year's resolutions, because most of the New Year's resolutions that we hear about and that we've just discussed involve lacking something. We need to lose weight because we lack the health and fitness, or we don't feel that we have the right image. We lack a positive image of our body. We need to manage our money better because we lack either the skills or the discipline to be able to care for, steward the resources that we have been entrusted with, or we fear that we do. A lot of our New Year's resolutions are all about what we don't have and making up for it. Whereas Psalm 23 makes it abundantly clear to us that as we seek to grow, God takes care of us and God gives us absolutely everything we could need. So we don't have to lack anything, nor do we have to fear anything. Because essentially that's all fear is. Almost all of the fears we have are connected in some way with the idea of lacking something or losing something. That could be our lives, our friends, our identities, our basic needs, our mental health or our physical health. If we have these fears that we're going to be without or that we're going to lack, trying to grow from that mindset and that spirit of scarcity is going to lead us into trouble because we're trying to do things in our own strength and without properly recognizing who God has made us to be. However, when we approach spiritual growth through the lens of lacking nothing, we see just how abundant the riches of God's glory are and how he can give us everything that we need. Psalm 23, as you go through each segment of it, each of that addresses a different lack or a fear that we might have that God takes care of, so we needn't fear it. And it is a near exhaustive list. So let us go through the psalm bit by bit. The first sentence really says it all. In fact, the psalm could end there. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. God takes care of me, I have everything I need. There is nothing I need to fear. That sentence covers the whole lot, and then it goes out and repeats the same thing over and over again. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Now think about it. If a sheep is lying down in a green pasture, that sheep is clearly full. Because if the sheep is still hungry, that sheep will be eating. And it doesn't say, he makes me eat in green pastures. He said, he makes me lie down. There is a spirit of abundance in his provision of our basic needs. Similar, beside still waters, not only does it have that beautiful, peaceful image of the calm beside a still water, but the sheep isn't drinking because it has all that it needs. Jesus himself said that whoever drinks from the water he gives will never thirst again, and that he himself is the bread of life, and whoever eats of that bread will never hunger again. Our basic needs will always be met by God, which means we do not have to fear or have a lack of our basic and essential needs. He refreshes my soul. Trying to put that into modern language, I couldn't think of anything. He refreshes my soul. The way I thought about it is particularly during lockdown, I like to go down to Brimbank Park, was within my 5 kilometre radius, and walking into Brimbank Park and sitting in the shade of the trees and just smelling the fresh, sweet-scented air, you get that sense of wellness, that refreshing of the soul. It's talking about that, but so much greater than that, because it's coming from God himself. There is a deep and abiding sense of wellness that comes with walking with God. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Because he is with us, we are able to discern the wisest path that we can take. Proverbs 3 verse 6 tells us that if in all our ways we acknowledge God, he will make our paths straight, which has now been retranslated to say, he will direct your paths. When we are walking in step with God, we know which route to take. The Lord's Prayer, which we will cover next week, specifically talks about leading us not into temptation, but keeping us on the right path. And it also mentions for his name's sake. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that we were salt and light, that our lifestyle, as the light of the world, would be attractive to mankind, humankind, and so they would praise our Father in heaven. We walk in step with Jesus as our shepherd along the right path, and people see us on that right path, and they want to be on that path too, because that's what for his name's sake means. In my translation, I read it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, which we may all remember as, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We do not need to fear a lack of protection. We do not need to fear injury or malice, because God is with us at all times. Psalm 27, a few pages over, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? For never will he leave us, never will he forsake us. Yes, we may find ourselves in dangerous and threatening situations, but we are always protected. I'm being very clear. I'm not going to say we are always safe. We are always protected. There is a difference. God is always with us. I don't want people to get the wrong idea that if we just walk with God, everything's going to be happy and joyful all the time. There are struggles, but you will always have your shield with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These are elements of discipline. Correcting a sheep that goes astray, making sure it doesn't wander off the path. Proverbs and Hebrews both have something to say about discipline. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12 tells us that God disciplines those he loves. And in Hebrews 12, 11, it says that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Lacking discipline in our lives is something that I personally fear a fair bit, particularly when it comes to spiritual matters. There is nothing I hate more than making the same mistake over and over and over again. Sometimes I found myself making the same spiritual mistake for the umpteenth time, and I remember lamenting to God, God, how did I get back here? Why am I in this space again? His rod and his staff are comfort to me. His discipline of me and his discipline of you can bring us great peace and great comfort because he has taken us back to the right paths for his name's sake. We should be very, very comforted by the fact that God just doesn't let us languish in our wrongs or let us wander off down the wrong path. No, his rod and his staff bring us comfort because they will redirect us to where we need to go. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Peace during conflict. Peace that transcends understanding. That is what God brings to us as he prepares the table for us. Now, it's interesting when we think about his peace coming in conflict, because that is essentially what the entire story of Scripture is all about. God bringing peace in the midst of conflict. A verse that struck me about this was James chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, where it says, well, what causes fights and quarrels among you? What is actually the source of conflict? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. That is a very, very perfect reflection of what the message of Psalm 23 is. When we start to lack things or fear that we lack things, we lash out. We have conflict with others because we are not seeking to get things from where we should, from the God who is always with us and who will provide for all of our needs. You anoint my head with oil. This means that we are chosen. We are set apart. We are complete. We lack nothing. Sometimes we may fear rejection. We may fear that we have no purpose. We can also fear ill health. The anointing of the head with oil is also a powerful symbol of healing. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, God tells us that we are redeemed and we are called by name. Child, you are mine, is what he says to us. We needn't fear rejection or lack of belonging because our head is anointed with oil and we are chosen and set apart by God. My cup overflows. Another fear that we often have is a fear of our own generosity. If we give, will there still be enough for me? The idea that our cup overflows tells us, yes, exactly, there will always be enough for you. A cup that overflowing is a full cup. There is so much within the cup, there is plenty to give away that it is overflowing. We should never fear lack of the things that we have left for us by giving generously. There will always be enough for our basic needs to be met, that we can be generous. That is the promise of Psalm 23 and our overflowing cup. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What I like about this part of the psalm is that it's not just about not having bad things happen, but proactively about actually good things happening. So it's not just God won't cause bad things to happen. He will actively bring good things into our lives. And then finally, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes one of our biggest fears, or the biggest thing that we may worry we lack, is eternal purpose, significance, the meaning of life. Yet the end of Psalm 23 wraps it up perfectly and says, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The God will always be with us in this age and in the age to come. Put that all together and you get a pretty powerful picture of abundance. it essentially says the same thing over and over again. God is with us. God takes care of us. So we have nothing to fear and we lack nothing. Now, coming back to New Year's resolutions. If you have one, or if you don't, that's fine. If you would like to, I think I would definitely encourage you to find an area of your spiritual life where you can grow and to set up a new discipline. If you don't have anything in mind, I would definitely encourage you to follow the example of Dallas Willard and go through the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23 once a day. But when we approach whatever it is that you're approaching, don't approach it from a spirit of scarcity, of going, well, I lack all of these things, therefore I need to, in my own strength, do something to make it better. But instead, think about what Psalm 23 says about the abundant and extravagant provision of God, and know that you will always have enough to grow in the way that God is causing you to grow. If you don't actually have, if you forget or you don't have the time or things start to languish, I would encourage you to at least do this a day, every day for the next month at least. First thing in the morning or whenever is a good time for you, look in the mirror or close your eyes and think of God and simply say this to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let's say that together now. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are always with us. Lord, we thank you that you give us absolutely everything that we could possibly need to do everything that you have for us. Lord, we thank you that you're a good and amazing God that never lets us wander out of your care, but is always willing to welcome us back. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we go about the rest of our service and worship time today, and Lord, that you would be with us through our week, and that we would put into practice some of the things that we've learned today, and that we would always be mindful that we have everything we need in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.